Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Welcome to Tony Alamo Christian Church here in Canyon Country, California. If it's your first time here, don't let it be your last. We're going to have a wonderful service this afternoon. Let's go up to the throne of the living God and ask Him to pour out His Holy Spirit upon this service. First, I want to mention a couple of rules we have. We don't allow any unnecessary talking during the services or any moving around. So let's go up to the throne and ask Him to pour out His Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, Lord and our God, we praise and we thank You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit, for Your life that You've given us, Lord, that we could have eternal life with You by the blood that You shed at Calvary. Lord, You said wherever two or more are gathered in My name, there I am in the midst. Lord, be mightily in our midst. Walk up and down the aisles here this afternoon. Lord, touch every heart and every soul. Open our hearts to receive Thy Word, Lord and God. Open our hearts to receive everything You have for us. Bless every song, every testimony, the message, Lord, the reading of Thy Word, and everything that's done here this afternoon. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Everyone says amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Joe, could you lead us in some songs?
Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Said I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It ain't no harm to keep your mind staying on Jesus. It ain't no harm to keep your mind staying on Jesus. It ain't no harm to keep your mind staying on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm just walking and talking with my mind staying on Jesus. I'm walking and talking with my mind staying on Jesus. I'm walking and talking with my mind staying on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm singing and praying with my mind staying on Jesus. I'm singing and praying with my mind staying on Jesus. Singing and praying with my mind staying on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I woke up this morning with my mind staying on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind staying on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind staying on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It ain't no harm to keep your mind staying on Jesus. It ain't no harm to keep your mind staying on Jesus. It ain't no harm to keep your mind staying on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I woke up this morning with my mind staying on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind staying on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind staying on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ of Psalms, we find these words. Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O Lord that dwelleth in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that He have mercy on us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Lord, bless the reading and hearing of His word. We say in prayer, our Heavenly Father, thank You once again for Your love, Your grace, Your mercy, and Your power. We thank You for the strength of endurance to carry on in Your holy name. We thank You for being just who You are in a divine existence, for You are able to bless each and every one of us according to our individual needs. We ask that You continue to bless Pastor Lamo and all his efforts to continue to spread Your word throughout this world. Thank You once again for this opportunity to praise Your holy name. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Said soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Said soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, we're going to see her soon. You know, I've got a mother up there, and we are going to see the King. Said, I've got a mother up there, we are going to see the King. I've got a mother up there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. There's no more dying now, we are going to see the King. There'll be no more dying now, we are going to see the King. There's no more dying now, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. I know soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Going to see the King. Very soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. I know soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going.
Glad to be in service, glad to be in service, glad to be in service one more time. Well, I'm glad to be in service, I'm glad to be in service, glad to be in service one more time. Well, I'm glad to be in service, glad to be in service. One more time. Well, I'm glad to be in service. So glad to be in service. Well, I'm glad to be in service one more time. I feel the Holy Spirit. I feel the Holy Spirit. I feel the Holy Spirit one more time. You can make me doubt him in my mind. You can make me doubt him, cause I know too much about him. You can make me doubt him in my mind. I don't know what you came to do. 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 I came to clap my hands,
my hands.
I came to clap my hands,
my hands.
I came to lift him up,
him up.
I came to lift him up,
him up.
I came to bless his name,
his name.
I came to bless his name,
his name.
I came to glorify,
glorify.
I came to glorify,
glorify.
I don't know what you came to do. 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 But I'm glad to be in service one more time. I'm glad to be in service. Glad to be in service. Glad to be in service one more time. But I'm glad to be in service. I'm glad to be in service. Glad to be in service one more time. lift him up.
Yeah,
I came to praise his name.
Yeah,
I came to praise his name.
Yeah,
I came to lift him up.
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 Yeah,
I came to bless his name.
Yeah,
I came to bless his name.
Yeah,
I came to bless his name.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. All right. Brother Steve?
There was three children from the land of Israel. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego took a little trip to the land of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego took a lot of gold and made him an idol. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Well, it told everybody when they heard the music of the cornet. Oh, yeah. Told everybody when I heard the music of the flute, and told everybody when I heard the music of the harp. Good God, you know you better bow down and worship the idol. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Well, the children of Israel would not bow down.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Said you couldn't fool them with the golden idol.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Said you couldn't fool children with a golden idol.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
So the king threw the children in a fiery furnace.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
And he heaped those coals with red hot brimstone.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Made it seven times harder, harder than it ought to be.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Even burned the soldiers the king had put there.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Then my God sent down his angel, came down to see his friends. It was the Son of God. In the middle of the fire began to cool the flames. With the children they got so happy, they went walking right through the fire. Just a praise and singing about the power of the gospel. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar said, praise God, when he saw the power of the Lord. And they had a great time in the land of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Praise the Lord. Marianne, is she here? Yeah, there she is.
Amazing grace will always be my song of praise, for it was grace that brought my liberty. My knees, I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me.
Praise the Lord. Any of the background singers want to come up right now? Okay, I'm going to sing Walk with God. I'll walk with God. Hurry along now. Praise the Lord. Amen. We used to, you know, if you look on the wall out there, you'll see that we had like a choir of about 100 people at one time, but we've spread out all over the country and the world. And a lot of people down through the years have backslidden. And it's just a sad case. The Bible tells us that we have to consecrate ourselves unto the Lord. And the reason for it is, I'll get into just a little bit later, but not. One of the things is because He purchased us. The Bible says a lot of people think that we have to consecrate ourselves because He saved us from sin. And some people say that He saved us from Satan. And that He saved us or bought us from Satan and sin in the world. But He did not. This is not scriptural. The Bible says that He redeemed us from the actual power of the law, the condemnation of the law. That's in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. And the reason that that's so important is because sin, Satan and the world have lied to us. They never really owned us before. The law owns us. The law owns us because we were sinners. Amen. We're not sinners anymore, those of us that are saved. And so therefore, the Lord came. Sin is so bad that God had to come into this world and die on the cross. He had to send His only begotten Son, and God was with Him. He had to send Him to die for the sins of the world on the cross at Calvary and be buried and then be baptized.
into death and then raised from the dead, and then he sent it into the kingdom of God. Now this he did so that we could be redeemed or bought to God. The law owns us, but the law is still intact. If we sin after we have been saved, then we fall back under the condemnation of the law, and there's no more forgiveness, the Bible says. And so a lot of people just don't like that, church people, you know, that really don't go out and serve the Lord. They don't want to believe that, and therefore they're already under the law for disbelieving the Word of God. But right now, let's sing I'll Rock with God, all right? Because he bought me. One of the things that I want to say today is that one of the greatest things biblically that ever happened to me. I didn't believe in the Bible, didn't believe in God or Jesus, didn't believe in heaven or hell until I had a supernatural experience with the Lord. And that supernatural experience, along with others afterwards, has kept me standing for going on 41 years now in the gospel field. And we've been hit with every kind of trial and tribulation and persecution and false things said about us. I was talking earlier about how that God is a very legal God, and people are coming down on legalism, but God is legal. He's very legal. Satan has taken people, lied to them, and has illegally gotten people to believe that the Word of God is not really true and doesn't have to be obeyed. So people are partaking in the things of the world, sin, Satan, and the world. But these things don't own us. Of course, Satan doesn't own us. He got a hold of people illegally. He told a lie. He stated that you're not going to die. And if you don't believe that, all you have to do is take a walk around Forest Lawn, one of the cemeteries in the world, and you'll see that these people all died. Amen? As for sure, we have no guarantee that we're going to live another day, but we do have a guarantee from God that we're going to die. Satan says, thou shalt not die, and you're not going to hell. God would not send his people to hell. A good God would not do that. Well, no, a good God wouldn't lie, and God said that you will go to hell. Satan lies to you. You lie to yourself that if you sin, you won't go to hell. Some people believe that, actually. And they believe that after they're saved, there's two different things. One is salvation, and one is being purchased. Salvation and purchase are two different things. The Lord saved our souls by shedding his blood on the cross, dying for us, coming into the world. And but then again, he had to buy us because he's a very legal God. Now, Satan is not legal. He's illegal. So he purchased us. No, he did not. He lied to us and got us. Well, I was really deceived. I believe that we're just going to live once, and that the Lord, after we die, we're just going to be thrown in a pit, and or a, so I didn't care whether it was an old trash can out in the alley someplace, because I figured I didn't know anything before I was born, and I'm not going to know anything after I die. And then one day I had this supernatural experience in an office in Beverly Hills when I was doing a promotion for a singer. And, you know, I decided years ago that I didn't want to be a singer because I didn't want to go to all the different nightclubs every night when I didn't feel like singing. I didn't want to be an actor, and I've had many chances to be in pictures. Jack Warner offered me the lead role in Young Dillinger, and he and Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., and I rejected it because I was in the middle of a promotion with Bobby Jameson. And I was just really riding pretty high, though, in the world, because the people that do the promotions and that own the record companies are the ones that usually make the most money, not the singers or the actors. And so I really thought that this was the way to go. Just live it up as much as you possibly can while you're in the world, because there is no heaven or hell. And I just figured that, you know, if you earn money, it belongs to you. You don't give it to anybody else. And some people that, they feel the same way. A lot of people feel that same way. And a lot of people don't have any money in the world. But I'm going to get on with this story just a little bit later, so because I'm going to call a few testimonies here. And then we'll go from there. We're going to make it a brief service because they started the song service about a half hour too late. And we're just dragging today. Usually by now the message is almost over with. And so, Brother Greg, you want to come forward and give a testimony?
Thank and praise the Lord for salvation, for the great mercy that the Lord had on my soul, that I had a chance to come. Like most people, I was born into a religion, and I got older and I formed my own ideas, my own opinions, what I believed that the truth was. And it wasn't anything special about me. I was just a kid in a neighborhood. I don't have any war stories to tell from before I was saved, of any hard life that I lived. But I was a sinner and I was lost, and I really had no idea of the truth of the gospel. And I met brothers from this ministry where I'm from at work, and these brothers were rolling up their sleeves, working for what they believed in, and I really respected that. And God, by His great mercy, began to deal with my heart and soul, and He pulled at the strings of my heart while I was asleep and dead in my sins and trespasses. And one night, long after services were over, the Lord drew me by His Holy Spirit 100 miles. I came up here, I knelt at this altar, I said a simple sinner's prayer, and I was born again, I was changed, I was completely a new creature, I've never been the same since, and I owe everything to the Lord, and I thank and praise the Lord that there was a lighthouse here where I could be saved and I could have the free gift of eternal life. Praise the Lord.
All right, now, who else? Let's people that haven't given testimonies for a while. Barney, Brother Barney. Is Sanford here? Is Sanford here? Yes or no? Make your yay, yay, and your no, no. Okay, Sanford and Barney and Marianne and also Carrie. And make it kind of brief because we are... Take a minute or two, all right?
Praise the Lord. I'm very thankful to be here today. Thankful for my salvation. I truly was lost. I was searching for truth, reality. I had no idea I was looking for God. But He drew me in to this ministry one Saturday night. I met the brothers on the street. I just happened to be out on the boulevard one night. I got dropped off there, and they witnessed to me and convinced me I should come to church with them, and I did. I heard the gospel preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, and I knew in my heart and my soul it was the truth, because it bore witness with my own spirit that what I was hearing was the truth. And I got the fear of God. I got very scared, and I knew I had to do something. And at altar call, I made my way down. I got saved, and Lord didn't fail me at all, but He did change me. He came in and gave me a new life. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, I'm very thankful that I'm in the house of God today, that I'm saved, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He had mercy on my soul. He brought me right to the doors of this church 35 years ago, not because I had ever heard of Tony and Sue, not because I had gotten a gospel track, because I didn't go to Hollywood Boulevard, I didn't go to Sunset Strip. I stayed as far away as I could, away from society, and I built my own little world. I had a commercial fishing boat, and I was just getting farther and farther away from society. And I started really praying, God, Lord, reveal the truth to me and show me some people that know the truth. Because I knew somewhere there had to be real people. There had to be truth on the face of this earth. I was raised in a Baptist church, and by the testimony that was presented to me, I said, if these people are Christians, I don't want to be one. If this is Christianity, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And I went on a long search, and I finally just decided I couldn't find it on my own. That's when I really started praying. And the Lord very supernaturally, by His Holy Spirit, brought me right down Sierra Highway. Turned my head at that time. The sign was only on the top of the building facing down the highway, but the Lord turned my head so far around that I saw Christian Foundation. And I said, what's a Christian Foundation? I kept on driving. But the Lord turned me around not very far down the highway, and I came back up and said, Tony and Susan Alamo Christian Foundation. Services every evening at 8 o'clock and 3 and 8 on Sunday. And I went by again. And I stopped up to park my car up the road, and I tried to read some kind of book I had in my car. And of course, it was nothing. I came down, back in down the highway and pulled into the parking lot. One of the brothers came out and started witnessing to me, and I knew I had to find out what was here. The devil tried everything he could to get me to leave, but I knew I had to find out what was here. And when services started and I heard the simple, old-fashioned gospel preached, not in man's philosophies or doctrines, but the power of the Holy Spirit, I knew I was in a place like I'd never been in my whole life. And when I heard I was supposed to pray to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart, that's exactly what I wanted to do. That's exactly what I did. And when I did, I felt the Lord Jesus Christ change me in the twinkling of an eye. I knew I was changed. I knew I was born again of the Spirit. I made a decision that day that whatever I had to do to stay right with God was what I was going to do the rest of my life. And that God has blessed my life abundantly. I can't even begin to tell you how much He's blessed my life. And I just thank God that I know the kingdom of heaven is there. And as long as I walk uprightly before the Lord, as long as I stay on that straight and narrow, that I'm going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. I thank God for Tony and Sue, for every brother and sister that has stuck and stayed and made it pay. And I know if Tony hadn't and Sue hadn't laid down their lives and picked up the cross and took the gospel to the streets and been obedient to the Lord that this ministry was established, that there would be countless souls burning in hell already, that it would not have got saved any other way than through Tony and Sue in this ministry. I just thank God for salvation. Praise the Lord.
Right. You know, we are now on radio throughout the entire world. We just took we just got on a New York radio station, and we just got on the station in San Francisco, and it covers all the Northern California, and then we also have the Dallas station. Those are three more stations that we've got now, and we're on some of those stations 4 hours a day, and a really good time, you know, really good time. And then, of course, we're on every continent and, you know, the whole United States. So people that want to tune in, all you have to do is just use our website to check it out as to what time we are on the air in your area, and also what the call letters are and where you are. We are on your radio dial. I do a radio broadcast every day. I've done between 55 and 60 messages in the last week for radio. And so it's completely different than the kind of messages that you bring here at the church, because people that come into the church, when you're ministering in the church, you should be bringing actual soul-winning messages. That's what I also bring on the air, but it's a whole different format. We don't have any music. I want to put music on in the future, but there's so much of the Word of the Lord that is not being preached today that the Lord has me doing primarily the Word, and that's it. I noticed that Jesus never carried any tambourine man around with him and things like that, you know, keyboard. But he tells us to praise Him on all the instruments, and so we do. All right, Sister Mary Ann, come on up.
I'm so thankful today for my salvation. You know, 35 years ago, I was so lost, and I was dead in my sins, and there was a woman that had been saved about 50 years that knew Tony and Susie, and she had witnessed to me for years, and I would just kind of shine her on, and I would, you know, just be nice to her because I liked her, but I just shined on what she was telling me. But she came to me one day and she said, you know, you've always said, look, I've been to 1,000 churches and there isn't one of them that I'd like to go to anymore. And she said, but you know what? Now you don't have any excuse, because you know there's a place where you can really serve God. And I thought, oh, I wonder what that's all about. And she told about Tony and Susie and how they'd gone out on the streets and won these souls. And these young people were in turn going out and winning more souls, and there was a mighty revival going on, one that the world had never seen. And I still shined it on, and one Christmas Eve, God pushed me into the corner and showed me hell. When I was crying out to Him from the depths of my heart and saying, God, what do I need? What does it take to really keep Your commandments? What do I need? He showed me hell. He showed me that it was the fear of God that I needed. And He embedded that fear within me that has never left. And that's why I came. That's why I got on my knees at this altar. And I
asked the Lord into my heart. And you know what? I knew I was home because I was around people that were filled with the Spirit of God. And that was the most joyous thing that I had ever known. And I've known that joy now for all these years, and I wouldn't trade one second of my Christian life for anything this world has to offer. And I'm so thankful for Tony and Sue and for this ministry. Thank you, Jesus.
So we're getting a lot of calls from all over the nation now saying how it's really wonderful to hear the truth on radio now and also in the literature. And the fear of the Lord means that you are afraid to disobey God's word because you fall back under the law. Now, the law owned us, but the Lord bought us from the law. It doesn't mean that that's the end of the law by any stretch of the imagination, because if you sin again after you've been saved, you fall right back under the law. And the law owns you again. The condemnation of the law owns you. And the Lord showed me that. I couldn't believe different preachers after the Lord revealed those things to me in an office in Beverly Hills. He showed me that there was a heaven and a hell, as a matter of fact, and that he showed me that he wasn't just a God of love. He told me to stand up in this room and tell the people in that room about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's coming back to earth again real soon, or I would surely die. He threatened me, and he let me know that I'd go to hell. And there wasn't any doubt in my mind about it whatsoever after he had said it to me three different times. At first, I thought I was going crazy. But I listened to him and listened. I thought, well, if there's a God, there's a devil, and all these things kept happening, and he was talking not in my carnal ears, but he was talking into my body. I could hear as good or better in my feet and my torso, my arms and legs, than I ever heard in my natural ears. He turned my ears off. I couldn't hear any sound on the streets. He says, I am the Lord thy God. Stand up on your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ, or thou shalt surely die. And he let me know that I would go to hell. And so I figured that I really had to convince the people in that room about that. And so, you know, after I got saved, I didn't get saved that day. But finally I obeyed him and told the people about that. Now, some people may think that's far-fetched. And, you know, if you think that I would go to prison and go through beatings and guns being fired at me and all the different things that I've been through, and giving up a Beatles album, which I own. I've never sold it. I've owned it down through these years because Pete Best gave it to me. If you think I'd go through all this aggravation, and I wouldn't go through the things that we've been through in this ministry for love nor money. You couldn't pay me enough money to go through it. And since I've been in the ministry, I've designed jackets for the people all over the world, stars. I've got pictures of them wearing them, Mike Tyson and all the different people. But all the money went into the ministry. And there's no way that I would have quit out in the world. I owned superstars. Pete Best of the Beatles was mine. P.J. Proby, one of probably the best pop singer in the world. I did the promotion for Sonny and Cher. I did all these different things, and I owned masters that are for sure smash hits that I've never even released since that happened to me. And after that, I met Susie, and she told me that people in the recording industry and the motion picture industry think I'm crazy because she used to be in movies herself. She said, because you left such a brilliant career. And she said, I want you to do another promotion. God said it's all right to do a promotion for this opera singer. Well, that was during the time when rock and roll, the Beatles were happening and the Rolling Stones. So Norman Kay, who is with the Mary Kay Trio in Las Vegas, brought an opera singer to me. His name was Jim Hahn. And I said, are you sure it's of the Lord? Because I don't want to do anything that would offend him or cause my soul to be lost, for me to fall back under the law, the condemnation of the law. God didn't eliminate the law. He just bought us from the condemnation of the law. So I said, all right. And I prayed about it, and he said it was all right. And so within 90 days, Rovan was the star of the Dunes Hotel in Las Vegas, and I had him on the Ed Sullivan Show, which was pretty real big at that time. It was the biggest thing. had him at the Coconut Grove at the Ambassador Hotel, where one of the Kennedy boys got killed, and I had him in the London Palladium and everything else, and then I sold him to RCA Victor, and the Lord told me, now get back into the ministry. It only took me 90 days to do it anyway, because I'm considered the best in the promotional field in the world. There's nobody. I just got a letter and a CD from one of the backsliders of this church saying, you know, there was Brian Epstein and there was Tom Parker, Colonel Tom Parker, and there's you, and you're better than all of them. Would you promote me? The man's out of his mind if he thinks I would promote him after knowing the Lord and then sinning as he did. And then actually he even spoke up falsely against me in a courtroom, and which sent me to prison for 4 years. I got a 6-year sentence and got off on good behavior in 4 years, and I still had to do a half a year in a halfway house. And so there's no way that I would have gone through all this. I was the darling of the promotional field and all the artists in the world, the Fleetwood Mac, all the different stars wanted me to be their managers, even the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. And I told him, well, my name is Tony 50% Alamo, but I'm not in the business. But he will pay you 50% to just be us. They said, Brian Epstein is a faggot, and he doesn't even know what he's doing. They saw the promotion I did for Bobby Jameson. And so if you think I go through that trials and tribulation, I saw somebody out there stretching and just moving back and forth. You know, you are an abomination to me, you know, somebody that doesn't receive. The prophet said, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? One of these days you'll find out that I was telling you the truth. You people that thumb your nose in God's face and don't believe the word. All right, Terry, you want to come up?
I'm very thankful for the precious gift of salvation, because I know it was a very high price that paid for our salvation, my salvation. And through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the obedience of Jesus Christ, the Lord rose up Tony and Susan Alamo. And these days and these hours when the gospel is just dead, and back in the 1970s, I saw this world. I was 20 years old then, and I saw this world being turned inside out. The Vietnam War. I saw the drug culture, the subcultures. I saw revolutions in the colleges, and I said to myself, what have I got to live for? There's nothing here to live for. This world is coming to an end, and I feared every day, day in and day out. My parents were not equipped to raise me. I saw no demonstration of the Spirit of the living God in any church or religious organization I came in contact with. I was on the streets of Hollywood and Sunset Strip, November 9th, 1970. The people came out to where I was. People that had been trained by this ministry, they were washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, they were converted into the kingdom of heaven, and they were powerful enough in God to come out to me, to witness to me by the Spirit of the Lord that reached down into the darkness of my soul. I was so hardened, I was so bitter, I was so hurt, but something they said, they told me about the second coming of Jesus Christ. They told me about heaven. They told me about hell. And they told me if I was going to waste my life, I was going to stand before an almighty living God and give an account, because I was made in his likeness and in his image, and he paid a price for me. These words were intriguing. I could not get these words out of my soul. It was approximately a week later. I ran into another group of people. They told me the same thing. And I am so indebted. I am so thankful. The Lord, by his precious Holy Spirit, took mindful. He was mindful of me, and by that wonderful Spirit, he drew me right to this ministry. And I came just dripping with doubt, dripping. I was so skeptical. And when I came in, I could feel an electricity. I could feel something I'd never experienced in any other church in my life. And I saw people from every walk of life. And then I saw this motley crew of hippies, and I saw Pastor Tony, clean cut, and I thought, this is very strange. And I was very skeptical. And as I heard the service began, the wonderful gospel songs, the Spirit of God opened up and heaven came down and convicted me. And then I heard the testimonies. It must have been 70 to 100 testimonies of people that God had delivered out of heroin, cocaine. I saw little old church women that were sick and tired of their dead churches, how they testified of the fire of the living God and the saving power of Jesus Christ. And then when Pastor Tony got up to bring the message, he brought the end time message right from the Bible that made so much sense. How could I deny it? I am so thankful there was room at the cross for me. And when I got saved, I got converted. The blood of Jesus separated me from my sins. They did not just leave me like so many churches did. They nurtured me. They took care of me. They taught me in the gospel and they rose me up. And I'm here 35 years later to proclaim the glory of God. We have got so much, there's so many wonderful things we've seen and so many more wonderful things we're going to see in the Lord. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. The Lord spoke to me in 1964 and we were in the ministry. We were the ones that started the Jesus movement throughout the world. It was the hippies. You know, the Christians were praying for a big revival, but when it happened the way that God wanted to happen with dirty-looking hippies with long hair and patch denim outfits, and they looked kind of... And I didn't like them either, you know, because they were spray-painting Hollywood with this graffiti and everything like that. But it was very hard for me to take, but thank God that the Lord put me with a woman that was a pastor for many years. And she said, don't be looking on the outward appearance of people because that isn't where it's at. The Lord looks on the inward part of the person. He looks on the soul, amen? And that's why I couldn't figure out why the Lord saved me, because nobody ever thought of me as a godly person. They told my brother Danny in Nashville, who was the A&R director of RCA Victor there, they told him that your brother Tony is out on the street, your older brother Tony is out on the street with gospel tracts and witnessing to people. And they said, no, he said, no, not my brother, no, no, not him. And then when I got saved, and here we were, God put us in a hippie movement, and I didn't like hippies, but she told me, she simmered me down, you know, and said, this is it, this is the big revival that everybody's been praying for. And I've got pictures. I had Bert over here going through some of the old pictures that we took down back in those days where we were raided by police. You can see police cars in there and the cops in West Hollywood Sheriff Department taking pictures of us. We were considered a public nuisance because of the hippies, and they were singing loud, and we couldn't hush them up. You know, we were right. We were in a big mansion that we rented, and on one side was this fashionable, on Crescent Heights Boulevard, if you've ever been to West Hollywood. That's just a half block off the Sunset Strip where our church was. And in one of the buildings, Ann Sheridan, the movie star, was living. And then on the left of it was a bunch of business people and everything. And we had blacks and beige people and yellow people and red people, and we're Jews and, you know, every kind of person on the face of this earth. And they'd go outside and they'd be brushing their teeth out in the back of the thing. And these people would be looking down at them and saying, get rid of it. And then we had about 15 garbage cans full of garbage just overlapping. And it was like all these new converts, and we were trying to keep peace with the law enforcement agencies and then peace with them too, because we didn't want to destroy their souls because we knew they were really saved. And so I'm getting a bunch of those pictures. I'm just converting our recording albums, the gospel songs, over to CDs. And we have a tray card in there, and I'm putting a lot of those pictures in there of me baptizing people in the ocean because we didn't have a place to baptize them. And then we've got like hundreds of hippies, and you can see that they were really hippies, you know, when you look at the picture. There's no doubt of that. And it was happening right here in Crescent Heights. And then because of the fact that we were convicted of being a public nuisance, And we were a nuisance to the public because we were out distributing literature right in front of the porn parlors and in front of the skin flicks. And and we were in front of these whiskey a go go and out there on the Sunset Strip. And what they were doing was paying the cops to arrest us because they wanted to discourage us from preaching the gospel. But they didn't know the supernatural experience I had with the Lord and how that He showed me that there was a heaven and a hell. And there wasn't anything that could move me from that. And they'd arrest me and they'd say, they'd be talking, two police officers to each other, and they'd be talking in German, you know, with the German accent. Herr Schmidt, what do you think we should do with Pastor Alamo here? What should we charge him with? Interfering with police officers. Yeah, that is a good one. Not distributing gospel literature. That's all we're doing is passing out literature on the street, you know. And they'd throw me in the clink. And then they threw me in with one of the brothers that was Peter Pachaco, and he was in the prison cell, and he started speaking in tongues, you know. And the cop came over to me and said, "That's what you're teaching them, Alamo? Like that?" And I said, "Let me tell you something, Mr. Policeman." I said, "This boy here is speaking to the Lord in a language that is of the angels. And, you know, the unforgivable sin is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit." And he says, "But you're supposed to be a Christian." I said, "If you were a Christian, you would be on this side of the bars instead of out there mocking this kid here, all right?" And so, man, they just hated us because we all had all the answers, you know. But anyway, I know that I don't want to fall back under the ownership of the condemnation of the law. The law owns all the people out in the world. And Jesus, in Galatians chapter 4, Sharon, have you got your Bible with you? Bring it up here and read Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. And we'll just see what God purchased us from. Not from sin, Satan, and the world. He saved us from that. But sin, Satan, and the world is what brought us under the condemnation of the law. And so sin is so bad that God in the flesh had to come here in the flesh to die for our sins. And then he had to go to hell for us because the law is so legal. God's law is so legal that somebody had to pay the price. And there wasn't a man on earth or a woman on earth that was righteous enough to pay the price for our souls, that could erase the sins off of our souls. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world and in the fullness of time. Here, the Old Testament was just telling everybody about Jesus Christ coming to the world, the Savior of the world, the Messiah. And then in the fullness of the time, in other words, at the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world, here, you go ahead and read it. God sent His Son. God sent His Son in here to redeem us from the condemnation of the law. Now, people, I don't care if you did good, if I did good all 41 years, and if I do good for another 40 years. And some people say, "Well, you know, I've had people tell me recently that you don't look a day over 45 or 50. I'm 71 years old next month. You want to disbelieve that, too? No, I am. I was born September 20th, 34. But I cannot fall back under the condemnation of the law. I don't want to, I will not sin. Because why should I lose my soul because of some hang-up in this world, or maybe some lust of the world, or maybe I got tired serving the Lord? We would stay out on the streets until all hours, and Susie was riddled with cancer. And she stayed out there until she almost dropped. One night I just kept telling her, "Oh, come on, Susie, let's just stay a few more minutes." But when I found out that the hippies were the ones that we were supposed to be winning to the Lord, and anybody else too, all these nice church people we used to bring into them because we didn't have a church. And we says, "Come on, take some of these kids into your church because we don't have any place for them." They says, "No, those kids couldn't be saved because they've got long hair. Those kids can't be saved because they've got, look at those, they need to take a shower." Susie told him, well, if the hair was a problem, then all we have to do is send them to barbers and they'll be saved, right? Or just give them a new suit of clothes and that'll save them. No. The outward appearance doesn't mean anything to the Lord. And some of these kids would come up to me after service and they say, Brother Tony, we need $50 to go get this. And I'd say, wait a minute, these guys can't. And the Lord checked me and said, give them the money. These kids turned out to be the most honest people I ever knew in my life. And I started trusting the brothers and sisters. Because I was so used to the world, you know, you don't give anybody money without some kind of a, receipt or some kind of credibility. Or, you know, let's see your credentials here. But no, the Lord said, give it to them. They're saved. They belong to me. They're mine. Okay, do what I tell you. And I just forked it over. And since then, I've been just forking money over to them. It comes in, but we fork it out sometimes faster than what it comes in. Okay, let's read that scripture, please.
But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law.
He was made under the law. Okay? What?
To redeem them that were under the law.
To buy them from under the law. And because of the fact that the Lord bought us, like if, for instance, if you buy a house, you have the right to live in it, don't you? Okay? If you buy a suit, you have a right to wear it. Amen? If the Lord bought you, then you don't belong to yourself anymore. The Bible says, know you not that you're the temple of God and you don't belong to yourself? Amen?
Amen.
And so he says, I want to use you. You're my house. And I want to move in there. I bought you and I have the right to own. I own you. And if you don't let me own you, if you don't live out, let me live out my life in and through you, your soul, you are a reject, you're chaff. I can't use you. Read it again. Finish that off.
To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Okay, because of the fact that he bought us from the law, he owns us now. And because he owns us now, we're sons of God. How's that? Isn't that something to praise the Lord for?
Amen.
Then why don't you?
Praise
the Lord. Amen. Okay, so he owns us, and he wants to, we're his house, and because of the fact that he owns us, he wants to do what he will in us. Many times, I did things, you know, the Lord told me to do things, and I'd say, I don't want to do that. But the Lord says, I own you. Now do it. I live in you. I work in you. Yes, Lord. And I would do it. Jesus said he despised the shame of the cross. But because of the fact that he was obedient to the Father to the end, and if you're a son of God, you are too, you're not going to fall into hell for some false thing that somebody said about you. Do you know how many false things have been said about Sue and myself and the different Christians in this work? And how many false things were said about Jesus and all the different apostles and disciples, the prophets? They lied about every single one of us. Amen?
Amen?
And they persecuted us. And they put some of us to death. And they threw some of them, as Jesus promised in the book of Revelation, he threw some of us in prison. And they're going to kill some of us. But it doesn't make any difference, because if they kill me, they've done me a favor, because I've been working 41 years. I got jealous of some people that have only been saved for 10 years and they got to go to heaven already. And here I had to put in an extra 31 years. And maybe I'll have to put in another 10 or 20 or 30. The Lord told me if I eat right, I'll live another 20 years. And if I exercise, he says, I'll live another 20 on top. That's another 40 years. And I thought, Mamma mia. That's 110 years of this. But praise the Lord, whatever he wants. Amen? Okay, those of you that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would love to stay here and talk with you for, you know, all night long. But, you know, the food is getting cold. Amen? And the cooks will be offended if I drag it on any longer. We cook this food, you just let it get cold. But listen, those of you that don't know the Lord, you know, it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord, to be saved, to have the Spirit of the Lord living in you and working in and through you. And He wants to use you. And He can use anybody that will be thankful that He purchased you from the condemnation of the law. He bought you, and you belong to Him, and He has a right to live in you, just as you have a right to live in a house if you buy it, or an apartment if you rent it. And so, therefore, give your heart to the Lord tonight. Come on down. There's room at the cross for you. Brother Bert, come on down. Those of you that don't know the Lord, come on down right now. And those of you that have done something wrong, come on down and get right with the Lord, okay, before it's too late. Okay,
the cross upon which Jesus died.
Just kneel down right here, brother.
Is a shelter in which we can hide. And His grace so free is sufficient for me. And deep is the fountain.
You know, the Bible says that pride goeth before a fall. You don't have any guarantee you're going to live another day. And if there's any sin on your soul, come on down and get rid of it. The Lord says that He forgives sins of ignorance. But when you willingly, wantingly, and knowingly commit sin, well, then you have placed yourself back under the ownership of the law, the condemnation of the law. And the condemnation of the law is hell and the lake of fire, which is never quenched.
Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
All right, you that have come forward to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, just repeat after me. Say to the Lord, it's for sure you're going to be saved right now. Just say to the Lord now with all your heart, my Lord and my God. Say it now. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word plainly states that you will not turn anyone away. The word says, everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Okay, now just raise your hands up and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now there's another experience that you can receive. The Lord wants to give it to you more than you want to receive it, and that is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Before I open up any of my messages on radio, I always pray, oh, Father God, pour out the outward anointing of the Holy Spirit. You've given me the inward anointing of the Holy Spirit. You've saved my soul. You've redeemed me. You've bought me from the law, and I'm saved now. So, Lord, open up every eye, spiritual eye, and every spiritual ear to receive that which you have prepared for everyone out there in Radio Land, in the world. Edify the church and also save souls. Lord, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for those that really want to excel in the ministry, those that really want to be used by the Lord. And we have a prayer room right over to my left here, and to your right. And you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Older brothers will go in there with you and pray for the baptism. And when you receive it, the Bible says that you'll have power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So that is one thing that I always love to tell people, because it's the truth also. Now, Father God, we ask that you bless everyone. Thank you for sending all the souls here today, the visitors. And we thank you, Lord, that you protected them on their way here. We ask you, Lord, that you protect all of us on our way to wherever we're going after we leave here. Some people are lying and saying that in order to be in our ministry, you have to move into this church. No, you don't. There's so many people that don't live here. I would say that all the band, most of the band here doesn't live in the church facilities. They're very welcome to do so if they like, but they don't. And so you can serve the Lord, and you can attend services every evening at 8 and twice on Sundays. Lord, we ask that you, I thank you very much for every musician here and all the singers and all the people that were out on the streets witnessing and testifying, distributing the literature. I thank you for all the wood doors that you've opened up in Radio Land, and we know that you're getting ready to put us on television. Praise the Lord. And even though we're not that crazy about being on television, other than to get the word out, that's all we're interested in, is to get out the word. And you are the word, Lord, to get out the message, the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is that you came into this world, you lived a perfect life, you died on the cross, you were buried, and you resurrected. And you ascended into heaven, you're sitting there in heavenly places, and now that we're saved, we're sitting there with you, and we've consecrated ourselves from the world, we've separated ourselves from sin, Satan, and the world, because you bought us, and you want us to do that, and that's what we do. And, Lord, you've given us the Word of God to fight spiritual warfare, not with carnal weapons, but with the Word of God, the double-edged sword. Lord, bless the food, make it for the nourishment of our bodies, and give everyone a blessed rest of the day and evening. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, amen.
Amen.
And you're dismissed. Okay, Brother Bert.
Oh, the Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, the Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter in. That's when Jesus Christ comes back to earth again. Oh, the Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, the Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter in. That's when Jesus Christ comes back to earth again. One more time. Oh, the Lord is coming back to earth again. The Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter in. That's when Jesus Christ comes back to earth again.